And so today we're going to wrap up a series that we've been in. This is part five of the series called Sitting in a Tree. Sitting in a Tree, love, marriage, and making babies, or the practice of making babies. And so I want to sing our little song. It's a children's song. Many of you guys know it. We've sang it for the last few weeks. But let's sing it one more time together so that you can have it stuck in your mind for the rest of the day. Are you ready? Joe and Susie sitting in a tree. Sing it. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes baby in a baby carriage. Good job. Give yourselves a hand. Some of you guys are going to be able to join the band after learning that song. We're just going to start singing children's songs for the rest of the time. But today, like I said, we want to wrap up this series. And what God has placed on our hearts from the beginning of this series is that we want to help teenagers. We want to help young adults. We want to help singles. We want to help married couples learn and be equipped to do things that not only glorify honor each other, but that glorify God. And so that's been our purpose, and that's going to be our purpose today. We want to learn or be reminded of God's purpose for sex and how to enjoy the gift that God has given us. And so today, here's what I'm learning, or what I kind of already know, but in today's culture, people are being given signals or information about sex from all different areas, right? I mean, you turn the TV on and you see stuff about sex. You watch a commercial and you see stuff about sex. You watch a movie and you see stuff about sex. You watch Nickelodeon and you see stuff about sex. I'm just telling you. You can go to any, clothing store, or not any, but a lot of clothing stores, and they'll sell their clothes through a sexual kind of a commercial, or, you know, that's just the way that our world is bent. And the world says this in a lot of ways. They say, well, sex, it's okay to do with whoever you want, whenever you want, with or without the commitment of marriage. And there's even movies made about it. Don't raise your hand, but, you know, there's a movie called Friends with Benefits. Some of you don't raise your hand if you've seen it, okay? That should not be your favorite movie, by the way. But here's what else I've learned. The church, on the other hand, has typically, for centuries, said nothing about sex. Or what they do say is, no, 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 don't do it, don't do it, it's wrong, it's dirty, you shouldn't even say the word sex. You know, I mean, I notice people when they talk kind of normal until they say the word sex. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just what they do. I mean, they don't want to say that word because they're afraid somebody might hear that word. Well, here's the truth. I believe that this receiving all this stuff from all sides, or not receiving it at all from the church, I think it's leaving much of our culture confused and wondering what the heck is right, what the heck is wrong when it comes to sex. I mean, even Christian kids, even Christian adults have these questions about what is right. I mean, what is actually right when it comes to sex, when it comes to dating, when it comes to marriage? And so at Thousand Hills, we've always, and this is one of the things I love about our church, because we have always spoken the truth, but we've always spoken it with grace. Amen? Because again, none of us are perfect. So what you hear today is what God's design is, but none of us have fulfilled God's design perfectly. And so you need to hear that. But what we've committed to do is to equip those who follow Christ, that how to, you know, glorify Him, while at the same time teaching those who have never heard this teaching before how they can know what is right and wrong. Because here's why. Again, the church has been so silent about a lot of this stuff that a lot of people just don't know what's right. And so here's what I find. A lot of pastors and a lot of churches, they get frustrated. They're like, why don't these people, why don't these teenagers, why don't they, you know, stop doing all that stuff? They should know that that's wrong. They should stop doing all that. They should stop going, you know, there in their relationships. But the truth is, they just don't know. I mean, again, we can try to hold the world to a standard that they don't even know exists. All they know is what they see on TV, or what they've seen in a movie, or what their friends have told them. And so again, I believe part of the confusion is because the church has not spoke up and told the truth. Are you with me? Can I get some clapping on that? I think that's true. And so again, today we're going to dive in, and I thank God that we have a church that's willing to speak honestly on the subject of sex.
Yeah, and I think to hit on that real quick too, a lot of, I feel like parents have been silent on the issue because they've expected them to learn this subject in church,
right.
But then the church has been silent as well, and so they're not getting any information from the right angles. And so our encouragement for you today is, you know, whether you're a parent, teenager, aunt, uncle, grandparent, whatever, this lesson is for you because there's someone in your circle of influence that you can step in and pour out some of this information on to, you know, some of these teenagers or kids that are lacking, you know, someone to guide them in the right direction. And so don't feel like you're here today and you don't need any of this information. You do, and you need to share it with someone who maybe doesn't have that influential figure in their life to teach them.
Yeah. Here's what I've learned. I was in youth ministry for 16 or 17 years. And one of the things that just saddened me, it made me want to cry, was a lot of times I would approach parents and I would tell them, you know, we're going to be talking about sex on Wednesday and all that stuff. And, you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, even salvation or Jesus and all that stuff. And they would say, I don't really care. I don't care what you talk about. And, you know, they didn't care enough to, again, protect their kids, to talk to them honestly and tell them what was right or wrong. And I thank God that I got to that teenager before somebody else did. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Because here's the truth. I mean, there are teenagers, there are young people that are experimenting with things that they don't have any idea how to handle. And so thank God that we get to reach into their life and show them what God's design is for sex, for relationships, and eventually for marriage, right? Here's the thing. Here's something else that I've observed. I've observed that when it comes to our lives, you know, again, the culture, and sometimes, if not a lot of Christians, they compartmentalize their life. You say, what does that mean? Well, here's what I mean. Well, they have a compartment for their job. They have a compartment for, you know, their dating. They have a compartment for money. They have a compartment for God. They have a compartment for church. They have all these specific compartments. And again, they're all put in their compartment. And the sad thing is, God is put in a compartment and left out of all the other areas of their life. Are you following me? Here's the truth. I believe that if you are a committed follower of Jesus Christ, that Jesus should be a part of every area of your life. Every area. And again, that includes dating, that includes your, you know, sex, that includes marriage, that includes your money, that includes your job, that includes everything. He should be at the heart of every area of your life. And you say, how do you know that? Well, 1 Corinthians 10:31, look at it with me. It says this: so whether you eat or drink, or what's the words there? Whatever you do, do it what? All for the glory of God. You know what that's saying? You want to bring glory to God? You want to, you know, glorify Him? You need to do everything that you do for His glory. Everything. Not just go to church. Not just read your Bible, but everything, from the decisions that you make with your kids to the decision that you make to the job, the money, whatever you do, all of it needs to be for the glory of God. And here's the result when you do that. You win, and you win. You do. When I give my relationship, my marriage relationship to God, we win. When I do it my way, we lose. When I do things with money my way, I lose. But when I do them God's way, I win. When I do my job, even at preaching, when I don't rely on my own strength to come up with what I'm going to speak to you about, and I rely on God, I win. So again, I'm just telling you, stop compartmentalizing. Go, my dating relationship is my dating relationship. God doesn't need to be a part of that. I don't need to follow His ways. I'll follow His ways at church, and I'll sing the songs. I'll come to church. I'll say amen. I'll pray, and then I'll leave. Now, that's not the way it should be. God wants to be a part of every area of your life. So here's the thing. Let me answer a few questions real quick, and then we're going to dive into the good stuff, okay? First question is this. Is sex outside of marriage okay with God? Now again, some of you guys know the answer to that, but some people are going, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, what I read, what I see, what I people tell me, I don't know. I really don't know. Well, let me just tell you, the Bible answers this question. You ready? Look out on the screen. Hebrews 13:4, it says this. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept what? Pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. And so you say, is sex outside of marriage okay with God? The answer is no. It's just a clear answer. And you say, well, why? You know, again, some would argue, but Bo, we love each other. We love each other. We're not married, but we love each other. That's reason enough to have sex, right? Or they say, we're engaged. I mean, we're going to get married anyways. Why not just have sex and let's get it on a little early? That was supposed to be funny. But that I hear that, right? I mean, engagements are, you know, I mean, we're committed. Or, you know, I hear this, you know, we're two consenting adults. I mean, well, I'm 40 years old. Shouldn't I be able to make my own decisions? Or, you know, the last one, well, God gave me this desire. Why would he want me to deprive myself from that pleasure now if it's a God-given desire? Well, can I just tell you, and I'm sorry, but none of those reasons are biblical reasons to have sex outside of marriage. None of them. I mean, I deal with it all the time. I get to do premarital counseling all the time. I do weddings all the time. And again, the sad part is, and I know I'm beating a dead horse here, but the sad part is when they walk into that time and they're already engaged, they're already getting married, they've sent the invitation, that's when they hear this truth for the first time. That to me is sad. It is sad. And so we are trying to change that. We want people to know when they're 9 years old what God's plan is. And I'm not your child, but our daughter's 9 years old, and she already understands. She's got an intellect that kind of goes beyond some nine-year-olds, and she's already asked questions. She's already heard things at school, and so we've already addressed the idea of sex to her and in some level. You know why? Because kids are hearing it. They're seeing it. And I want them to know the truth so that they can hear it from us. Again, the verse tells us that it is sexually immoral to have sex outside of marriage. And that means before marriage, before you're in your dating relationships, and in your marriage. He desires for it to be pure. So that's the question. I mean, I just wanted to, you know, kind of make that clear. Here's the second question. All right. Is doing everything but having sex okay with God? I mean, again, some people are like, man, I'm not having sex. I'm going to enjoy this. You know what I'm saying? I'm not having sex. Let's just see how far we can go, right? I mean, that's what some people do. That's what all of us have asked that question. I mean, if you're a teenage boy, you're like, man, how far can I go? Or you're a teenage girl, how far can I go? How far is too far, right? That's the question that a lot of people are asking. Well, the Bible answers that question as well. Look at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says this. God's will is for you to be what? Holy. Stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in what? Holiness and honor. Not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. Never harm or cheat a Christian brother in this matter by violating his wife. For the Lord avenges all such sins, as we have solemnly warned you before. God has called us to live what? Holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting who? God, who gives the Holy Spirit to you. Now you say, okay, but what's that saying? Well, here's what it's saying. Again, some people are like, well, you know, how far can I go before it's right or wrong? How far can I go? Can I pet, you know, my girlfriend? Can I rub in certain places? Can I, you know, do anything else, you know, with the person of the opposite sex, but not have sex and God be okay with it? The answer is no. Again, by petting or touching or doing everything but having sex, here's the truth. Even if you know that this is the person you're going to marry, it's still not right. But here's the truth. A lot of people in dating relationships don't know that that's the person they're going to marry. And so here's what I want you to imagine in your mind. You are violating another person's spouse. The things that I did, I'm just going to be honest, with some of the girls that I dated, violated them. And listen, I have to answer for that. When you do things that only a married couple should do with another person, you are violating that person. And listen, they have to live with what you've done to them, and you have to live with what you've done to them. I mean, the Bible says don't do it. And so here's the question shouldn't be, is it okay to do this or is it okay to do that in dating? The question should be this: is what we're doing holy? Is it holy? I mean, again, you ask that question, you know, before you do something, and it'll clear up a lot of things. I'm just telling you, it'll clear up a lot of things. And so when you ask this question, again, it will show you what is right and what is wrong. Now, again, some of you are like, okay, Bo, I've already had sex. I've had sex outside of marriage. Or I've gone way too far in a relationship before. What do I do? Now, here's the cool thing. You do what you do with every other sin in your life. You confess it and you tell God, I don't want to do it again. Listen, just like any other sin in your life, God can forgive you. You say, how do you know? Because here's how I know. The preacher has sinned. I know that's surprising to some of you. That was a joke. But the truth is, he's forgiven me of my sin. Therefore, I know he can forgive you. And so some of you are like, man, I feel shameful and I got all my clothes on today. You know, nobody knows my sin, but I feel shameful. I feel, you know, guilt. I feel all of this stuff. Look at 1 John 1:9. Listen to what it says. But if we what? Confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to what? To forgive us our sins and what? Cleanse us from all wickedness. So the truth is, God can forgive all sin when we bring it to him, and he can provide the strength not to go there again. That's his desire. And so the truth is, we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of God's plan, but we can all be forgiven. That's where we want to start, because here's why. We want you to know that God is a gracious God. Again, some of you walk in here going, man, we screwed up big time. Can God forgive me? Yes, he can. And guess what? He wants to. It's not that he can and he's just up there going, hey, you know, when you're ready, come on back. No, he says, come on back. I love you. Come back to me. Please come back. I want to show you the right way. I want you to do this thing right. And so that's the news that we want to give you at the beginning. Here's the good stuff. Ready? Number one, sex is a blessing. Let me say it again so somebody can clap. Sex is a blessing. Listen, teenagers, you know, young people, your desire for sex is a gift from God. Let me say it again, because so many people want to go, don't talk about that. It's dirty. It's dirty. It's dirty. No, listen, your desire for sex is a gift from God. When you get close to that girl that you kind of like and you start going, hey, you know, and you start having these feelings and you're like, dang, what's that? You know, that is a gift from God. Again, some people are like, whoa, no, I don't want to think that way. I don't want to feel that. I don't want to go there. No, listen, that is a gift from God. I want you to hear that over and over again, because some people, again, they want to, and here's the sad part about it. They get told that it's so dirty that when they get in marriage, they feel dirty, because they've been taught by the church that it's just something that's dirty, when it's truly a gift from God. And nothing shameful about it. You were created to have hot and passionate sex. You were created to connect with one person in the sexual experience. And so again, sex is a gift from God for our pleasure and for His glory. But listen to this. This gift is meant to be shared between one woman and one man in marriage. Yeah. Here's the truth. When you realize, you know, I mean, when you experience God-blessed sex, there's nothing like it. I'm just telling you, you have no shame, you have no guilt, you have freedom, you have sexual fulfillment, you have intimate connection with your spouse. And again, all of these are reasons why sex should be a blessing inside marriage. Look at Genesis chapter 2, it says this. It says, this is why a man leaves his father and his mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam, from the beginning of time, with his wife Eve, were both what?
Naked.
Let's say that word together in church. Ready? Both?
Naked.
Naked. Is it naked or naked?
According to that, it's naked.
I think that's misspelled, Matt.
Naked.
And that's the cowboy version. There we go. They were both naked, naked, naked. And what? They felt no shame. Golly, some of you guys, again, you're here today and you got all your clothes on and you feel shameful because you feel like, man, I know I haven't done this right. Listen, when you do things God's way, you can be naked and feel no shame. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. So, number one, sex is a blessing.
Number two, boundaries are a blessing.
Say that again.
Boundaries are a blessing. So it might be easy to swallow number one, but number two, boundaries are a blessing. And because, you know, most of the time when we hear the word boundaries, we automatically think of a negative, like something I can't do. You know, it's something that's not fun. It's something that you think, man, if I have a bunch of boundaries, I'll be alone, you know, the rest of my life. But I want you to hear this. Boundaries aren't a burden. They're a blessing. So when we shift our mindset and realize that that boundaries aren't a burden, they're a blessing from God. Just, you know, as good parents, a lot of us in here are parents, and we have boundaries for our children. Why do we have boundaries for our children? Because we love them, right? So when we tell them, don't touch the stove, we don't want them to get burned, right? Because we know that's going to inflict pain.
How many of you guys have a scar from touching the stove? Yes, I've got one right. No, sorry, wrong hand. Right there. I didn't listen. Sorry. Don't follow my lead.
That's right. You know, when we tell them, don't run into the street, you might get hit by a car. I mean, we have all these different boundaries for our kids because we love them and we protect them. And the same is true for God. You know, He is our Heavenly Father. He loves us more than anyone here on earth. And He wants us to have boundaries to protect us from the consequences of, you know, sex outside of marriage. A lot of the, you know, those consequences of the pain might be emotional pain. You know, I know, like, you know, Bo and I, we weren't perfect. I mean, yes, we both married as virgins, but, you know, the whole, like, can we do everything but have sex? I mean, some of that stuff applied in our previous relationships. And let me tell you, you never get over that emotional, you know, pain from that. I mean, you carry that with you. And so when He said, think of this as someone else's spouse, well, then you also need to think of your future spouse and honor your future spouse.
That's right.
Because they have to deal with some of that emotional pain that you bring into the marriage. And especially if you're a Christian, the disconnect that you feel when you're living outside of God's will, if anything else, that's probably the most miserable part of that.
Yeah.
Just feeling that shame and just knowing that you're not pleasing your Heavenly Father.
Let me say this, the disconnection that you'll feel from now on. Mm-hmm. Because again, some of you guys have never heard this. And you're in a relationship, you're, you know, doing things maybe that we've talked about already that are ungodly or that are sinful. Now, I'm just telling you, you're going to feel a disconnect because now you're accountable to what the Word of God says. Does
right.
that make sense?
And you'll feel that way until you confess,
until you confess and
turn
right.
from that. Yeah. And so anyways, not to mention, you know, a pregnancy outside of marriage, if you're not ready for a child, I mean, that's another thing that, you know, obviously the disease that goes around, I mean, things like that, obviously, we know. And so boundaries can help us to avoid all of those things. But we want to talk about just some practical boundaries, first off, in dating. And this is some things that Bo and I did. And, you know, when we first started dating, this whole discussion of boundaries was brought up by him. And I praise God for that, because this was the first time I had ever dated someone that said, hey, let's talk about some physical boundaries that we're going to set. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, what do you, you know, I mean, it was a foreign matter to me. It was just something I had never heard. And so I praise God that I was dating someone who loved the Lord. And that's, you know, what we've hit on these past few weeks is someone who loves Jesus and is running that race with you and strives to be holy. So as long as you're both striving to be holy, that makes this a lot easier.
And I'll say this as well. If you're relying on the other person to talk about boundaries in your dating relationship, don't wait. Don't wait for them. I mean, if you're dating a guy and he doesn't bring up the boundaries, you bring it up. Mm-hmm. You talk about it. Before you ever get into this deep relationship, talk about it so that you can not go there in the wrong way. Yeah.
Bet. So some of the boundaries that we had was not kissing too early, which is very vague. So it's each couple has to kind of go along this with each other. I mean, I know that one boundary that we had was an emotional boundary. We didn't just pour out our love and affection for each other all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, until there was that commitment there. Bo never told me, and I never told him that we loved each other until we were engaged.
So we got engaged on our engagement night. Yeah, when I asked you to marry me, that was the first time I ever told her that I loved her. And we dated for how long? Off and on for a year,
off and on,
you know,
probably,
so, yeah. And so again, for me, the kissing deal, the not kissing too early, I knew because I know myself and I'm a man that if I kissed her, then I would want to go a little further. Just knew it. So we argue over how long that was, but I want to say it was like 3 months to 4 months before I kissed her. We dated that long. She would argue that, but I remember it because I was counting the days. And I remember it was my birthday and we were in Washington on a mission trip and I looked into her eyes and I said, the only thing I want for my birthday is your lips. We were sitting on a swing, a porch swing.
Like,
see,
a...
I remember. And so guys, listen, you know, guys, I'll talk to guys, you know that you're going to want more when you get into that kissing deal. And so listen, the further you can wait, the longer you can wait, the more exciting it is for one, and the more that you can get to know them on a friendship level and a communication level before that physical part just kind of comes in and blows everything up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Once you start kissing, another boundary we had was not making out while laying down. Like,
yeah,
we weren't.
We made out standing up a lot. Because when you make out and you're lying down, I'm just telling you, that's not a great position.
Okay, and another one, maybe a lot of you have heard of this, is the box. Have you ever heard of the box? Like, so you draw a box on your body, everything outside of the box is off limits. If you're a dad,
this is the box.
The box that you want to draw from your daughter is probably like
from here,
maybe
to
from
her
here to her toes. It's more of a rectangle.
Yeah, you can touch their ankles all you want.
Yeah.
You can rub their earlobes. Hey, baby.
Yeah.
You know, all you want.
Another boundary we had was not making out in the car.
Yeah.
I don't think we really said this, but we made these boundaries just over dinner or something. We were just in a casual setting, not while we were, I mean, we weren't in the car making out when we said, hey, okay, now we're not going to get in the back seat.
Yeah.
I mean, we made these boundaries when we were both level-headed and not in the heat of the moment, which is a smart thing to do.
Yep.
Another thing was not watching sexual scenes in movies.
Yeah.
I think, you know, a lot of us, when something enters our mind, that sticks in your mind.
And it triggers.
Right. And especially for men, that image, they're more visual than women. And so that sticks in their mind for quite some time.
And I'll say this as well. Men, again, some of you guys look at sex scenes in movies or TV shows and all that, and you're like, no big deal. Listen, when you look at another woman and she's naked, you're violating your love for your wife. And so, can I just tell you, even if you're in a dating relationship, if there's a sex scene that comes on, you need to grab the clicker and fast forward it through that scene so that you don't have those images in your mind and so that you're not compromising the girl that you're with.
Mm-hmm. And a lot, yeah.
Can we get some clapping on that? Because that honors people.
And I think we'll probably talk about this more when we talk about boundaries in marriage. But another thing, too, I mean, just at home, like he said, Nickelodeon or whatever. I mean, we were watching TV the other night. It was 9 o'clock at night. It wasn't even late. And our kids were in bed, and it was on like Nick Jr., Nick at Night, maybe is what it was. And I mean, I turned into this channel, and it's two women in their bras and panties making out in bed.
Yep.
On Nickelodeon.
Yep.
My kids stay up past 9 o'clock usually on a weekend. And so I was just like, we immediately blocked that channel so that you can't even, I mean, flip through. And I don't want my 9, 7, and 5-year-old just innocently flipping through the TV channels and see, I don't care if it was a man and a husband or a man and a woman.
Yep.
I mean, it wasn't even that. It was just the fact of the matter that they were undressed and in bed and making out, you know? So I mean, it was just, We have to be really aware of what's on TV these days. I mean, especially HBO, all those things. Another thing is not talking about sex unless you're in a group, like Bo said tonight, you know, youth, they're going to be talking about a lot of what we're talking about in here. But there's really no reason, unless you're engaged in premarital counseling or whatever, to even really discuss
yeah.
that. And then the last one, and this is, to me is probably the hugest boundary, is accountability with friends. Just like anything in life that you want to be successful at, you have accountability. I mean, if you're on a diet and you're trying to lose weight, you have someone that you're accountable to that says, "Hey, how did it go today?" And the same is true with sex. You know, when we were dating, we both had we had an older couple that mentored us, and I had lunch with her every week, and we would just, you know, get together, and she would speak truth in my life and ask me tough questions that I knew was coming, so it made me more aware of my actions during the week, so, because I was going to have to answer to her.
And I would say this as well. If you have teenagers, they need to be at youth tonight. One of the greatest things that I had growing up was a youth group that when I went to that youth group, I was a leader. God had called me to be a leader of the youth group. And when I made a commitment to not have sex until I was married, every kid in the youth group knew it. And so I was accountable to all those kids that were looking to me as a leader, and it helped me not go there. I mean, my youth minister, he knew that I had made that commitment because we made it public at youth. And then he got a call one day saying, there was a little camp called Falls Creek down at Davis, Oklahoma, that has like 10,000 people at it. But this guy called him and said, "Hey, do you have anybody that's committed not to have sex until they're married?" And he's like, "Yeah, I got the perfect person." And so he's like, "Bo, hey, would you speak to the whole group at Falls Creek?" And so I stood on a stage with like 5,000 people out there, teenagers, and I told them about my commitment to not have sex until I was married. Now, again, that created accountability because I knew that people were counting on me as a leader in my youth group, and I didn't want to let them down, okay? So your kids, they can come tonight, 6th through 12th grade. They're going to be challenged to sign a covenant of purity to say, "I'm going to save the gift of sex for marriage." Your kids need to be there. Because once they, you know, get in that community and their friends can hold them accountable, they're going to be stronger. They're going to be a lot stronger. So here's a side note. Can I just tell you this? If you're dating someone and you're of age to marry, and you know, here's the key, you know that they're the person that you should marry. Here's my question. Here's my answer. Well, here's the other side of it. You know that they're the person that you're supposed to marry, that God has you to marry, and you are burning to have sex. It's like a struggle. Every time you get together, it's like, okay, let's not go there. Okay, let's not go there. And you burn with this passion for this spouse or this girlfriend or boyfriend in your relationship. And you know that it's God's will for you to get married. Can I just tell you something? Get married. Why live through the torture, guys? Why live through the torture? Why not just say, okay, we know that it's God's will. I mean, again, we want to plan this wedding, so, you know, we're not going to touch each other for 3 weeks, and so we're going to get the wedding planned, and we're going to have a wedding, and we're going to get married. Don't wait for enough money. Don't wait for the perfect time. Just get married. And you say, well, how do you know that that's what you're supposed to do? The Bible tells us. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:9. Paul's talking to people that are engaged or that are of age to get married. And he says this, "But if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. It is better to marry than to burn with what? Lust." I'm just telling you, Heather and I, we got We got engaged in what? August?
Middle of August.
And we got married in?
October.
October. 3 months. I had to, is it August, September, October?
August to September, September to October.
Thank you. 2 months, 3 months, whatever it is. But we knew that we were supposed to get married. We planned a wedding and we got married because I was tired of waiting.
We like short engagements. We're proponents of short
engagements. I am, if it's God's will.
Right.
But let me just tell you this. If it's not God's will, don't get married. Mm-mm. Just stop the relationship if you can't handle it. I mean, I'm just telling you, because some people, they go, well, we'll just get married and it'll solve all our problems. We won't ever argue again. That's crap. That is crap. Marriage does not solve sin problems. So, again, you need to know that it's God's will for you to get married. And you may be thinking, well, I'm married. What are the boundaries for me? If we're already married, what are the boundaries? I'll tell you some of mine, okay? Obviously, I'm a preacher, so I have a lot of people that come to me and they're emotionally distraught. They're having issues with their husband or whatever. So here's what I've done since the beginning, or I had teenagers when I was a youth minister. I always put a window in my office. Because here's the thing. I mean, I have teenagers coming in, they're crying because my boyfriend told me that he didn't want to date me anymore. And they want to hug on me and touch on me. And I'm like, oh, hey. And so here's what I did. I put a window in every one of my offices because I want everybody to be able to see inside and I don't get accused of going somewhere that I don't want to go. Even if you're a businessman and you have a woman walking in there whose husband's treating her like a jerk, you want people to see it. So get a window in your office. The other thing I don't do is I don't ride alone with someone of the opposite sex. That's of age. I mean, I ride with my daughter. And I would probably pick up a grandma if her car broke down. You know what I'm saying? But I don't ride with anybody in a car that's of the opposite sex. Because, again, you are guilty by association. Not because you did anything, but by association. If I get in a situation where it is a compromising, even in the looks of things, I call my wife. In other words, let's say I'm at the Saddle House and I'm there. We had a meeting and there's a girl waiting for her mom to pick her up. Guess what I do? I call my wife. Say, Heather, hey, I'm here with Susie and Susie's mom's fixing to pick her up. I'm going to stay on the phone until Susie's mom gets here because I want you to know that Susie's here with me and I don't want anybody knowing or thinking that I'm doing something that I shouldn't be. You say, well, that's dumb. Why are you taking it so far? Just takes one person accusing me of doing something wrong to ruin my life. So you can say, well, you're the preacher. Yeah. You're the preacher. I don't have to worry about that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I'll tell you what else I do. I got on a website called XXXChurch.com. Now, when you go to that website, let your wife look it up. Because if you misspell and leave out church, you're going to go somewhere you don't want to go. So let somebody else, let your mom or your dad look it up. But I went to XXXChurch.com, and on that website, they have a filter that you can put on your web browser that when you go to a certain site that you shouldn't go to, like a porn site, it'll email 3 people and tell them.
Accountability.
That's called accountability. And you say, well, Bo, do you have a porn problem? I don't. I don't have a porn problem. But listen, I don't want one either. And so she gets an email, what is it, every week?
Every week I get an email from this website, and when I click on it, I just want to, you know, praise my husband because it says no questionable sites were viewed every week. And, I mean, it is. It protects him, it protects our marriage, and it shows me honor, and yep. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So men, I would encourage you to do that, especially men. Women, again, some women, you know, struggle with porn as well, so whatever it is, teenagers, you need to do it. Get on that website, you know, or not teenagers, have your parents look it up, but get on there and get that site downloaded, that filter downloaded. The last thing that I do is I don't watch channels on TV that I know where sex is. In other words, HBO, Cinemax, you know, even E! Channel, all those channels that I know where the naked women are going to be. Amen, guys? Come on, guys. You know what channels are going to have naked women or you know, women that don't have much on. And so here's what I've done. We just got Dish Network. We haven't had it for 2 or 3 years. We just got it the other day. The first thing that I did is I got on the channel lock, and I locked all the channels that have, I know what sex, you know, scenes are going to be on them. And I locked them all so that I wouldn't be tempted to watch them when my wife isn't there. And here's what else I would do on that. Have her set the code. Because the devil wants to tempt you when you're alone. And if you know the code, you're gonna do whatever. So
another boundary for married couples that you can set at home, and everyone's going to love me for this one, is to have lots of sex.
Amen.
Okay. If you're a married couple.
Will you say that again? That's a subliminal message to his wife, Kanyetta.
So, and then,
nobody sees that except her.
So this is another boundary. I mean, again, if a husband and wife are sexually satisfied at home, they're going to be less tempted to look outside of the marriage for that fulfillment. And I, you know, like I've said in the last service was, you know, if you know the story of Jacob and Esau, he sold his birthright to his brother for a pot of stew, right? And why did he do that? He was starving. He was famished. And the temptation was right there. So he gave up, you know, something extremely important for instant satisfaction right in the moment. And if our husbands or, you know, our wives are walking around sexually starving, guess what Satan's going to do? He's going to put a pretty bowl of stew right in front of them that's, yep, you know, 5'7", tight, looking good. And it's going to be a temptation, right?
So and have so, a lot of sex at home. And I so told have, Heather this week, I said, babe, we've got to practice what we preach.
So Bo is a happy man today. Okay. All right. First,
and then just pray that it continues. Hey, you remember what you preached last week?
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 7:5. It says, do not what? Deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So it is our duty, and it should be our desire, to satisfy our spouses sexually. And I, you know, and I say duty because that, I mean, it is. It's our obligation as a married couple to have a sexually fulfilling marriage. But it should also be our desire to have that. And so my encouragement is, you know, if you mostly, maybe probably the women more so than the man, struggle with this. If you struggle with that desire, with, you know, feeling the desire to have sex with your husband, I would encourage you to pray for that. I mean, I've been there. I think I'm sure we've all been there. We're just, you know, we're too tired.
You have a headache.
Or we're too
I have
busy.
A headache.
Yeah. Sorry. And I don't want to have sex with the headache.
This is
joking. We better stop. But really, I mean, if you will pray that prayer, pray, God, give me a desire for sex. I mean, just increase my desire. He's going to honor that. You know why? Because he desires for you to have a successful, holy marriage. And so he's going to honor that prayer.
Let me say this as well. Here's what I always tell couples when we're in premarital counseling. You ready? Women, listen. Here's the advice that I give. Women, be more sexual than you feel. Be more sexual than you feel. Again, maybe you don't feel as sexual as, you know, your husband. And again, your husband's desire for sex is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. He's not a pervert because he wants it every day. Some of you all need to hear that. Because when guys approach their wives and go, hey, baby, they go, again? and what they need to realize, again, that's a God-given gift. So women, act more sexual than you feel. Can I just tell them, I'll tell this to the men, be more emotional than you feel. Because when she's emotionally satisfied, she's going to be sexually more
engaged.
Engaged. That's a good word. I was going to say in heat, but not.
Wow.
Engaged. She's going to be sexually engaged, right? Okay.
Another tip is men, unload the dishwasher.
Yes.
You know, if your wife's constant excuse is, I'm just too tired, I have too much to do, well, help do some stuff, and then maybe she won't be too tired, right? I came home the other day, and I was dreading unloading the dishwasher. I don't know why it was that big of a deal, but I was just like, man, I just want to go home and just relax. Well, I get home, and the dishwasher was unloaded.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it turned her on.
Yeah. It was great.
I always say sex begins in the kitchen. Because it meant, and I'm not talking about having sex in the kitchen, although that's okay if you're married. Unload the dishwasher, do the dishes, mop the floor, clean up the table. Because all those things,
cook dinner. Oh, yeah.
Because all those things will lead to more fulfilling relationships. I'm trying to be filtered here. All right, here's the thing. You may be thinking, well, I'll never find anybody. If I have all these boundaries, I'll never find anybody to marry. Listen, it's just not true. Can I just remind you of something? God created the world. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, he can't bring me the right person. He'll never bring me the right. He can't find her. I mean, he's lost her. I mean, what's he doing? Because you think, well, he can't handle my relationships. He can't handle, you know, this marriage. He can't handle that. Yes, he can. He can bring you somebody. And he wants to bring you somebody because he wants you to be fulfilled. So again, he can handle it. Just wait for him. So here's the last thing. You know, sex is a blessing. Boundaries are a blessing. Here's the last thing. Obedience leads to blessing. Let me say it again. Obedience leads to blessing. I can tell you from our experience that when we chose to trust God's plan and we obeyed his plan, we got blessed. We got blessed. Let me tell you, Psalm 1, listen to what it says. It says, Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join with mockers. But they what? Delight in the law of the Lord. In other words, they delight in the word of God. They meditate on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they what? They prosper in all they do, but not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the who? The godly. But the path of the wicked leads to destruction. So here's your choice. You can say, well, I'm going to follow the world. I'm going to do it the world's way. I'm going to do it my way. Guess what? It'll lead to your destruction. You might have fun sex for a little while, but at the end, you're going to reap the shame and the guilt and all the things that come with it. But when you obey God and you do what God asks you to do and you commit to the things that God wants you to commit to, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. I want you to realize something. The things that we've asked you to maybe set in your life, like the boundaries and all the stuff that we've asked you to commit to in your life, when it comes to relationships, here's the truth. You cannot do it alone. It is only by the strength of God that you can accomplish what he's called you to do. It's only by his strength. And so you say, well, Bo, how do I get his strength? Well, here's the answer. You ask Jesus to save you. In other words, maybe you're here today and you've tried to be successful at dating. You've tried doing it your own way. You've tried not to go there and do that. Listen, the only way that you're truly going to ever have the strength to overcome the temptation is through the strength and the power of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. You say, how did you get to that wedding day, a virgin? It's only by the grace of God. It's only because he was a part of our relationship, in the center of our relationship. And so maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus into your heart. You don't know him personally. My challenge is that you would do that today. And you say, Bo, how do I do that? Well, it's simple. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, nobody's looking around. But here's what the Bible says. In Romans 10, 9, it says that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so you say, well, how do I get saved? How do I know Jesus? You confess him as your Lord. You say, how do I do that? You pray this prayer. Maybe you just pray this. And again, it's not about the words, it's about your heart. But maybe you just pray this in your heart, right there in your chair. You pray this. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I haven't lived according to your plan. But I am confessing my sin to you today. And I'm asking you to come into my heart and save me. I want you to be in my life. I don't want to put you in a compartment. I want you to be a part of every area of my life. So please forgive me. And please be the Lord of my life. Listen, maybe you just prayed that prayer for the very first time. You knew that you weren't a believer or you weren't a Christian, but now you've prayed that prayer and you've given your life to Jesus. Listen, we're not going to embarrass you. We don't ask anybody to come to the front. But would anybody say, you know what, Bo? I prayed that prayer for the very first time by raising your hand. Anybody? Would you say, you know what? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Say, you know, I prayed that prayer for the very first time. I'm giving my life to Jesus. Listen, thank you. Listen, those of you that just said, you know what, Bo? I prayed that prayer for the very first time. Listen, can I just tell you that's the greatest decision that you've ever made in your life? Because now you have a personal relationship with Jesus, and now you have the strength to overcome the temptation in your life. And so we celebrate that. We thank God that you were willing to give you your heart to him. Maybe you're here today and you know Jesus, but you're living in a relationship that's not pleasing to him. You're doing things your way, not God's way. Maybe you're dating someone that you know is not a believer or knows that, you know, that they don't love Jesus. Can I just encourage you? Maybe you need to make a commitment today to say, okay, God, I'm going to stop doing things my way. And I'm going to have a dating relationship that honors you. So maybe you need to pray that. Lord, you know, I know that I've not done things your way. And I need you to forgive me. I need your strength to do it your way. And so I'm committing my life and my relationships to you so that you can be glorified through them. Listen, maybe you just prayed that commitment to God. Can I just encourage you, just like I've said already, make that commitment now. Not when you get into a relationship that you know is wrong, or not when you get into this feeling of love. Make it now. Commit now to honor him so that when you get into that relationship and it's a gift from God, you can actually go through with the things that you've already committed to. Maybe you need to set boundaries. You need to go home. You need to write down your boundaries and just know that those are the things that you're going to commit not to do. Listen, I would encourage you to do that. Maybe you're dating someone. You just need to get together with them. If you know that God's in your relationship and you need to go to lunch and you need to talk about the boundaries that you want to set. You say, Bo, I'm married, but I'm being tempted to go some places that I'm not supposed to go. Can I just encourage you to make those boundaries as well? Maybe the first thing you need to do when you get home is get on xxxchurch.com and download that filter so that you cannot go to those sites without someone knowing so that they can hold you accountable. Maybe you need to go home and you need to lock those channels that are on the TV that you know that have all kinds of sexual things on them that lead you to sin. Can I just tell you, it's not until you set those boundaries and you commit your way to God that you will have victory over the temptation. Because the devil wants to kick you in the teeth and he wants to destroy your marriage. And if you don't set boundaries, you're setting yourself up for failure. And so my prayer is that you would make that commitment. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead us in a closing word of prayer. Wes and Jill are going to come. They're going to make some closing comments. But I want to thank you for being here today. And I pray that you'll come back next week and the week after and learn more about what God has planned for your life. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to share truth and grace. And Lord, today, for those that have maybe gone too far in sexual sin, I pray that they would experience your love and your forgiveness today. And Lord, for those that are in a relationship that is not honoring you and they're in a dating relationship that is not honoring you, I pray that they would set some boundaries, get right, confess their sin, and repent and turn from it, or that they would get out of that dating relationship. For those that are married, Lord, I pray that you would just help them to have a godly, God-centered marriage that is fulfilling sexually. Thank you for the gift of sex. May we honor you with the gift that you've given us. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bo and Heather Haig at Thousand Hills Ranch Church. Please join us again next Sunday at 9 or 10:30 a.m. at the Woodward Livestock Auction. And visit us online at thousandhillsranch.church. That's 1-0-0-0-hillsranch.church.
I rode every trail in the Lone Star State. I roamed the range in my Ford V8. Yippee-i-o-tie. Yippee-i-o-tie.